Okay, so the COVID serum, right, makes this argument that it's about knowing, right, this guy has a possession, right, whoever has a possession, so we have guy one, right, dude, we'll call him dude one, or dude A, really should have been a dude A, okay? Dude A has the object, and we assume that he's a kosher dude, right? So if he's, either he owns it, that would be kosher, right? However, if he stole it, right, that would be very bad. You do not like it. That would be bad. Okay? Sorry, can't actually. So if dude one owns it, then that's consistent with what we know about him as being a fine, upstanding citizen. If he stole it, that would not be consistent with what we know about him as, right, as having a cheskas kashrus. Now, since achzukei inchi began be lo machzikina, we don't go around assuming that people are ganavim, right, without evidence. So we can't assume that this is not his. And since we can't assume that it's not his, because that would assume that he's a thief, we therefore have to come to the conclusion that he owns it. But let's say the following. Let's say there was another option. Right? Let's say it could be he borrowed it. Right? Now I have three options, two of which are consistent with his cheskas kashrus. So I could say he owned it, I could say he borrowed it. So far, so good. Except you have the cheskas marakam. Right? On the ring it says, Ashnaz Gimbatul, right? Property of Sauron, right? Please return to Mordor. So I have a Marakama who has like bylaws, he has evidence that it's his, and that, right, his name is on it. He's the Marakama, he's the last known owner. Right? Nobody has heard of it, knows that anyone else owned it. So we assume then that the evidence of the Marakama is true. This guy is a kosher dude, also true. There's no steer between them because he could have borrowed it, right? So if I have a marakama, right, then you can say, goes back to marakama, right? The original owner. Okay, everyone got that? Right. So basically, we have two pieces of evidence. He's not a thief. He's the original owner, right? If the only option is either he owned it or he stole it, so he's the original owner. True, right? And now maybe this guy bought it from him. Because if I say that he stole it, then I'm contradicting the fact that dude one is assumed to have a cheskas kashrus. But if I have another option, says Rav Chanan, like it could have been borrowed, so then he's still not a thief. He still has his cheskas kashrus. He's the marakama. Put it together, right? It probably belongs to him. Okay. However, says Rav Chanan, there's a second din. Okay, there are two dinim here, right? There's another din of muchzak. Ein chilu klal bein tvisa so muchachas alav ola. The habisafik bechoro samrina hamotze mechaber alav haraya. Af she'ein b'ze shum beiror she'ino bechor. The din muchzak ino klal mitam beiror hamaisa. El the hachidina the besafik mamon in motzin miyad hamuchzak. And now there's another din, says Rav Chanan, right, which is what we were seeing before. That was also kind of coming out of the Gemaras. Is there's the question of chazaka ma biyado. That's because we assume that people aren't thieves and they have a cheskas kashrus. If we have no idea what to do, right, then we just say alav haraya. If there's a marakama, right, if it says property of Sauron on it, so we'll say, okay, we'll give it back to Sauron, right? If it doesn't say property of Sauron on it, and the only way to say that, and the only way to square away the facts is to assume, I don't know, that Smeagol stole it. So we're saying, I can assume that Smeagol's a ganav, right? So then Smeagol gets to keep it. But, right, let's say there's no Cheskas Marakama, right? Because we have no idea who it belongs to. It's just a stam ring. No one cast it into the fire yet, so it's not glowing red and doesn't say who it belongs to. So then, right, Din Mochzak, Eino Klal Mitam Beirur Hamaisa. We don't know who it belongs to. Ela Hachidina, the Besafik Mamon, Eino Tzim Miyada Mochzak. Right, but when in doubt, we leave it where it is. Okay, so there are two separate dinim. There's one about how do we figure out who it belongs to, and we could use the Cheskas Kashras as a way to figure out who it belongs to if the alternative is to assume the guy's a thief. Separately, when we don't have any idea what to do with the money, we leave it where it is. Okay? Be'emes Adavar Pasha, the dina de mochzak lo shayach ela besafik drar de mamona. Dizen nekram mamona mutu besafik. But this idea of leaving it where it is only applicable when each has a genuine grounds for claiming ownership. Okay? But hecha shetfisasa muchachas lav shu bevada shalau im lokein hech bar l'rushusa dachzuk gen jibigan bedo machzikinan. V'zeh einu mitam mochzak. That's not because of mochzak. Right? Ela da'anan sadi shu bevada shalau. That's not saying that we leave it in his hand because possession is 9/10 of the law. That's saying that because that we know that it's his because he has a cheskos kashrus. Understand? One is a course of action to deal with cases where we don't know. Another is a way to figure out what actually is going on, who it actually belongs to. Right? I can say I have no idea who it belongs to, but you get to keep it because you have it, and possession is 9/10 of the law. Or I can say, I could figure out who it belongs to, right? And these are two different things which could be present both at the same time, or only one of them could be present at right? And you could have one without the other. One is a way of dealing with mamon when you don't know who it belongs to. The other is a way of figuring out who it belongs to. Okay? The Shar Mishpat, who happens to be the father-in-law of the Nod Yehuda. That's cool.
I don't know if you can see us. Can I ask a question about the covetarium?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so two things. First of all, I had trouble figuring out like the contrast he's trying to draw at the beginning of part Gimel with Safik Gerard of Mamona versus Safik Balia de Tanotehan.
Okay.
And then he tries to apply that at the end to like Shnayim Elchin, and I couldn't really piece that together.
Okay, so that gets into the general question of Jared the Mamona. The idea is like this. Bezdin wakes up in the morning and they see two people fighting over a talis, right? Bezdin strokes their beard and they say, I think this talis belongs to one of them, but I don't know who, right? As opposed to the alternative case where Bezdin wakes up in the morning and they have no opinion whatsoever about it. And one guy walks into Bezdin and says, that talus that he has is mine, right? When Bezdin, that's the basic approach to Tzoraz Mamona, which basically says that if, right, we have grounds for viewing it as either as one of theirs, right, as both of theirs, or as possibly either one. So then the fact that one of them is holding on to it is grounds for us to leave it that way and to say, oh, well, he has it. Right? Like in the case of the Shutzpah, whose house fell down. As opposed to a case where someone comes to the court and says, oh, that's mine. And the other guy says, no, really, and they tell a story. And because they told a story, right, the Safik came Ayyadei Tanoseya. Right? And in that sort of case, there's no din of Mokhsa. Okay?
So to clarify, Safek Balayde Tanatehem is when someone comes to the Beit Din with a claim saying that someone else has his thing. I don't understand the two options, or at least how he's defined.
Let's say the case of the Mamon Biad Shlish, right? There's like the third guy who has the money. So in that case, right, we say Yehei Munach. So,
in which category would that fit into?
So, or here's a better example. Sorry. Machlif Shor B'chamor. But there it's Akka, there's Jared Lamal. What's his case? Let's say, oh, sorry, Steinbuchsen. I think in the case of Steinbuchsen, I did kind of say, but I gave him a loaded mikri moment with Besafek. What is the actual case he's talking about? Okay, he says you have to have like a real suffix, as of, just like he's comparing it to the cases of Isser, where if you just don't know, so you don't know, so you got to go find out. I think he's trying to say like a case where fundamentally we just don't, where we don't know. What is his example? I'm trying to think what his, like what his example is. Are you saying Steinbuchsen? Yeah. Kilishna Gemara. I'm not sad. You might have this Heidi Dehu. Heidi Dehu. To be Shneim Olsen Metalis. The Lake of Jorid Mamona. Inu Mita Mochsak. Elo Mishem. I'm not sad. The Chomash Biado. Who shall have? Right? But by Godros, the Dvarma, so in the Hashkel, if it was meant to be lent out, in Tfisas and Muchachas, Inu Nem Alomar Shehu Shalau. And what Kmina Becheskas Marakama. Kivin the Lake of Bekai Gavna, Dina the Mochsak, in Safek Motsi Mideva. Okay, he says. Okay. He's saying the case of Steinbuchsen Metalis is not a case of Jared Mamon. Okay, why? When Bezdin wakes up in the morning, there's no legal reason for them to believe that this talis is potentially one or the other. Why do they think that? Why do we know not know who it belongs to? Because they came to Bezdin and each one claimed it to be theirs. Right? But there's nothing inherent about the talis and situation that leaves us in doubt as to who it belongs to. As opposed to, let's say, the case of the Shtat, or the case of Machlef Parah B'Chamor, right, where each one was the owner in the recent past. And the question is, at what point in the recent past did it give birth? And we have no idea. So the ownership of the cow implies ownership of the calf, but we don't know when the calf got born, right? So there, we have an actual Drard Mamona. We have actual doubt as to the ownership because both have a legal, all right, have legal basis or legal evidence to their potential ownership. All right, we just don't know which is correct. Or in the case of a shtar, of the two shtaros, right? There are two shtaros with the same date on it, both attesting to the ownership that Bob gave his property to A and Bob gave his property to B. And they're both valid shtaros. The guy just wrote two shtaros for the same thing and gave it to both of them, to two different people. So there, both of them have a legal claim to the property, right? We don't know which is more valid, but they both have a legal claim. In the case of Steinbuchsen, neither of them have a legal claim, right? It's just that they're coming to Bezdin and claiming that and saying that it's theirs. The only suffix is by the Tano saying. It's only because they're coming to Bezdin and saying, and whatever the words coming out of their mouth are what leads us to believe, to have to figure out who the money belongs to. Okay?
So the consequence of that would be that he doesn't hold up his Muchsak and Steinbuchsen.
Correct. Meaning by Steinbuchsen, we don't say, oh, they're Muchsak and Hamotzi Mechavero of Haraya, and therefore each one keeps half. Why? Because the idea of Muchsak is only, it's a din, right, that whenever Bezdin doesn't know what to do with the Mamon, then Hamotzi Mechavel of Haraya, and we leave it where it is. But that's only when Bezdin doesn't know what to do with the Mamon, based on Bezdin's evaluation of legalities, such as the case of the Shutfin, whose house fell down, right? Both of them have legal, right, have a legal claim to the stones, because the stones are from their house. We just don't know which stones are which. So Bezdin says, Hamotzi Mechavel of Haraya, and whoever has the stones gets to hold on to them. Even though we know that the stones belong to both of them and they have to split it 50-50, but the person who already has possession gets to choose which stones he keeps.
So where would that position go in the flow chart? Because it doesn't quite sound like the thieves, and it doesn't quite sound like the needing Araya.
One more time? In the flowchart.
Yeah. Where would that go? That we need suffix jarad and mamona in order to necessitate.
In order to say hamotz mechaber al haraya, you need jarad and mamona. That's in this part of the flowchart.
Right. So is that the status quo change, or is that baldari migash aleihem?
I think it's both, because in order for us to consider this a status quo, we have to say that you have some legal relevance to this money. Right? You have to have a real legal claim to the money in order to say that the status quo exists. If two people just randomly show up claiming that they own a talis, that doesn't lead us to believe that it belongs to them, right? I mean, maybe not, but there's no real legal standing to their claim, in which case we're not going to say that we'll maintain the status quo, right, until there's evidence, because there is no status quo. There's two random people yelling at each other about a talis. Think of it like this. You have two people arguing over a parking spot, right? You don't say, oh, Hamotzim Chewa of Haraya, and the person who's, I'd say, standing near it, you know, and like, therefore, they both get half of it, right? Okay, they're arguing about a parking spot. Neither of them has a standing to say that it's really theirs. Okay? So essentially, says Rav Hanan, if there's no Jarad Mamona, then first of all, right, Beis Din says we need a Raya in order to change things. Right? But Motz Mechavel of Haraya is more than just leaving things as they are. It's not Beis Din walking away, because then why can't the guy just, you know, go and grab it? Maybe that's Kol Dalam Gavah. Right? The status quo, maintaining a status quo, is an action of maintaining the status quo, says Rav Hanan. And we'll maintain the status quo only if you have legal standing to the object. And then you can say, well, I have real legal claim to it, and I have possession, and possession is 9/10 of the law. Possession is only 9/10 of the law, right, once we're in a legal context. If it's two random people yelling at each other, we don't say, oh, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Right? But if Rav Hanan is saying that there is no Jarad Mamona in the Shnayim Machzin case, then the Shnayim Machzin case wouldn't even be on this flowchart.
Shnai Mofsin is on this flowchart, but not over here, says Rav Hanan. Shnai Mofsin is over here. It's about Chazaka Shemad Biyado Shalom.
Okay.
The fact that he's holding on to it proves that it's his. Why? Because otherwise, I need to assume that he's a thief. And since I'm not willing to assume that he's a thief, because that goes against his Cheskas Kashrus, I need to assume that he owns it. Right? Got that? So what Rav Hanan is trying to say is that there are two dinim of hamotzi. It's proof that it belongs to him, and even if I don't know that it belongs to him, he gets to keep it because possession is 9/10 of the law. Says Rav Hanan, possession is only 9/10 of the law when you have legal standing. When you have Jarad Mamona, and that suggests that you have a real claim to the object. If you're just a random guy or two random guys yelling about a talis, we have no legal proof that you once owned it, that you might own it, that you could have owned it, you should have owned it, right? That you both, you know, have a shtar that was meant to give you ownership of it, but who knows what, or that you both owned the cow, right? And it gave birth, and we're not sure exactly when it happened, so therefore you both, right, have an equal legal claim to its offspring. You're just two random guys claiming to have ownership of the talis. Okay, you claim you own it. So what? Maybe yes, maybe no. Right? In order to enforce the status quo of possession is 9/10 of the law, there needs to be a status quo. Right? And you can only have a status quo, says Rav Hanan, if you actually have some sort of legal claim to the object. Okay, so basically he says there are two totally separate systems in place. One is about maintaining the status quo. In order to have them maintain the status quo, you need to first have a status quo. You need to have some sort of legal claim, which we are sort of giving the power of possession as 9/10 of the law to. Separately, there's the idea that we assume that people aren't thieves because they have a cheskas kashras, and therefore, if we have to choose between assuming that he's a thief or he owns it, we will assume that he owns it. In the case of Shnei Mochsen Betales, there is no drar de mamona, right? There's no genuine legal claim to ownership that pre-exists this conflict that vis-a-vis Bezdin, right? Bezdin doesn't know that there's, you know, there are like, oh, there are competing deeds, or, right, they both had ownership, and the question is, you know, some sort of derivative that came during the transfer period, right? Let's say they transfer ownership, right, over a period of time, right? And as they're transferring ownership, something happens, or they get some valuable derivative. So there, right, there's a genuine legal question. It's not even so much of like a Metzias question as much as, right, that's a good question. Like, what do? Like, derivatives that are accrued during the transfer of ownership, right? Well, you can say, well, you know, you started transferring ownership, or you say, well, the original guy still has some ownership, or, right, is it partial ownership? Is it proportional ownership? Depends what's going on, right? That's like an interesting court case, right? It's hard for, you know, you have to have a judge figure out, like, what the precedent is about, you know, who owns it, when does the point of transfer happen, etc. But those are legal questions, right, that are all based on the fact that they have a legal claim, and you have to figure out which one is more valid, and maybe you can't figure out which one's more valid. Shnei Mochsen is just two random people come to court and claim ownership of something. They have no evidence, right? They have no real monetary claim to it other than what they're saying. Do we believe them? Do we not believe them? That's the only question. I don't know. Maybe we don't believe them. Because of that, there's no value of status quo. Because we can only enforce the status quo if there's a genuine legal claim. Because also, Hamotzi Mechavel Avarai is a din in Bezdin. And that Bezdin will enforce the status quo in the absence of further evidence is only true if there's enough evidence that says that it belongs to one of them, right? And each one has a monetary connection to it and a monetary claim. So Bezdin can say, oh, they both have monetary claims. He has possession. Possession is 9/10 of the law. If there's no monetary claim, then we can just ignore them. Right? Possession is irrelevant if there's no monetary claim. Great example to this. If I, right, I don't know, if I walk into your house and I pick up your pen and I say, nice pen. And you say, but it's my pen. And I say, it is. And you say, can I have it back? And I say, no, because possession is 9/10 of the law and ownership is only 1/10 of the law. So now I have 9/10 rights to this pen. And you're like, but it's mine. And I say, yes, it is yours. And you're like, well, I want it back. And I say, well, I'm not giving it back because possession is 9/10 of the law and I have your pen. Right, obviously, that makes no sense, right? Even though I have possession and you only have ownership, so really I should have 9/10, right? Because possession is only 9/10 of the law when ownership is in doubt. Okay, fine. Now, let's say the following, though. I think, he doesn't say this explicitly, but I think at least we have the following issue based on this Rabbi Hanan, which is very gishmak, I think, which is like this. The whole reason in Shnei Mochsen that we say that we split it is because either we have to say you stole it or you own it. And since we don't want to go against your cheskas kashrus, because that is evidence against the theory that you stole it, we assume that you own it, right? Let's say there's a Badei Ramai. Right? Let's say the chalukah is Ef Shalios Emes. Right? According to Rashi, if one guy says Ani Aragtia, the other one says Ani Aragtia, right? Or to, let's say Tosfos. The Chalukah is Ef Shalios Emes. It's definitely not true. So normally we say Anan Tzadi D'mayit Tachas Yado Shalom. Says Rav Hanan, why? Because otherwise it goes against your cheskas kashrus. So it can't be that you stole it, it must be that you own it. Anan Tzadi D'tachas Yado Shalom. Let's say it's impossible for them both to own it. The chalukah is Ef Shalios Emes. Then why? Then Tosfos says, beyond to the chalukah. Why not? So remember, Rabbi Chanan says the only reason we do Yachloku by Shnai Mosen is not because Hamotzi Mechabel Alfaraya, because there's no Jar de Mamona, right? They have no legal claim to it. It's only because Anan Sadi Demai de Tachas Yadol Shalo, and we assume that what he has in his possession is his.
So I'm not so clear how the Anan Sahadi works. That was actually going to be my second question.
Okay, so the Anan Sahadi is the Rokhan Rabbi Chanan. Is since we know that we're assuming he's not a thief, because that would go against his Cheskes Kashrus, it must be that he owns it. So since he has possession, and he either owns it or stole it, and we assume he didn't steal it because he has a Cheskes Kashrus, so then it must be that he owns it. And not so, he demanded Tachas Yad or Shalo, because otherwise we're assuming
he's a thief. But doesn't he say, Dafka, it's not because of Mochzak, but rather because of Anan Zahadi? Why does he contrast the two?
Right.
But Mochzak is possession, and possession is 9/10 of the law, right? Some of the terms get a little confused. Totem, right? Let's say the Rush says Chazaka Maiditachas Yadol Shola. The Kovetz Shirim, when he says Chazaka, he means, he doesn't say Chazaka, he says, right? Mochzak means the person who's holding on to it physically. Possession, right? Not the Chazaka. So it's a little bit confusing. So let's talk about Anan Sadi, right? Or our assumption of ownership versus status quo, right? Rabbi Chanan says, Shtayim Ofsen is just the presumption of ownership, okay? Based on Tosos. Tosos says, we don't do Chalukah if it's EF Shalios Emes. Why? I have two people holding on to it, both claiming that it's theirs. Let's say it's impossible for it to be both of theirs. What does that tell me? They're both holding on to it. They both claim that it's theirs. What do I want to do? I want to say neither of them stole it. Let's say it's E.F. Shara Chalukah Leos Emes. It can't be true that they both own it.
One of them is a liar?
Exactly. One of them has to be a liar.
Like,
and not only does one of them have to be a liar, Rashi says if one of them's a liar, then that's already a problem. Tosu says only if it's impossible for it to be true, right? Tosu says only if one of them has to have stolen it, right? Okay, great. If one of them has to have stolen it, then this whole thing falls apart. Because our whole assumption of Yachloku is that Anan Sadi Demai Ketachas Yado Shalo. Why? Because we're assuming that dude one is not a thief. But if I have dude one and I have dude two, right? And dude two also claims that it's his, right? Then, right, when owns it, they can't both own it. Unless in a case where they can't both own it, one of them definitely stole it, right? So we don't want to say that they stole it. But if the two owning it is contradictory, right? If it's not possible for them both to own it, then what does that mean? It means that one of them stole it. And if one of them stole it, it means that one of them is definitely not a kosher guy. He's a ganav. Which means our assumption of a cheskas kashrus is no longer valid. It's not only it's not valid, it's not even defensible. And if it's not even defensible, right, then no more Chalukah, because it's EF Shalios Emes. It's not possible to say that these guys have a Cheskes Kashrus and what they have, they own. So then there's no reason to do Chalukah anymore, according to Tosfos. Right? I mean, according to Rashi, we do Chalukah because we want to do Chalukah. We see it as a good and valuable way of solving the problem. We won't do it if one of them is Badai aligned. According to Tosfos, we do Chalukah because we have to do Chalukah because Anan Sadi demanded Tachas Yado Shola. But if it's Yashara Chalukah Leos MS, then it's impossible for both of them to own it, which means one of them stole it, which means one of them, right? We can't say, oh, Achzuke Yuchi began Velo Machzikinan, because we know that one of them is a thief. One of them has to be a thief, which means here, possession is not proof anymore. Right? Now, when would, okay, so if possession isn't proof, the only reason to keep it is because of the status quo. Maybe you'll say, okay, then maybe we'll maintain the status quo. Says Rabbi Chanan, there is no status quo here because there's no drurat mamona, there's no legal claim. Right? No? Still a little confused? That's okay. It is very confusing. Basically, right, we have two separate ideas. That we keep the status quo, and that we know that people aren't thieves, and therefore their possession belongs to them. Right? In the case of Shtayim Ochsin, there is no status quo. Why? Because status quo maintains that whoever, that these two people who have legal claims to the object, right, whoever has possession has 9/10 of the law. Here, neither of them has a legal claim, right? The only thing that's happening is both of them jump up and down and say, it's mine. But they're not bringing, there's no legal evidence for that. And there's no legal status quo of one of them had possessed, has ownership, the other of them has ownership. They both at some point had ownership. Here, the only thing that happens is both of them say, oh, it's mine. Okay, they said it's theirs. That doesn't create any legal status quo. So we can't maintain, we don't maintain a legal status quo that doesn't exist. Two random people say that it's theirs. Okay, that's not a status quo. So there's no status quo that it's theirs. What happens? Only that we have proof that it belongs to them based on our assumption that dude one and dude two aren't bad people based on their chetzes kashrus. Except, right, so that's fine. Because either they stole it, which we don't want to say, because that goes against their chetzes kashrus. So it must be they own it. So each one owns it, each one gets half. Except, says Tosfos, if it's impossible for the chalupa to be MS, then one of them is a ganav. And if one of them is a ganav, we no longer can maintain, right, the, oh, achzuke inchi beganavi lo machzikina, because we know that one of them really is a ganav, 100%. We don't know which one, but we know that one of them is. And therefore, there's no anan sa'adi demai detachas yadar sholah. Right? Because our whole assumption of demai detachas yadar sholah is based on this assumption that we don't want to say that there's a ganav, but we know there's a ganav.
Okay, I think I get most of it. Would you mind going through a case where the Anan Sa'adi kicks in and tell me at what point it kicks in?
Yes, the Anan Sa'adi basically like this. Originally, well, let me erase this all. Okay, if we go back a second. In the case of Shnayim Ochsin, that's what we're talking about, there's no status quo, okay? So we have no status quo. What do we have? We have dude one, or dude A. Dude A is assumed to be a kosher Jew because he has a cheskas kashrus. Therefore, if dude A has an object, okay, let's make an object. This is the object. Okay, he has an object. It could either be he owns it, or he could have stolen it. Which one should we assume? We have to assume that he owns it, because otherwise, we're assuming that dude A is not a good dude. Right, but he has a chetzes kashrus, which tells us assume dude A is a good dude. Right, so we have to assume that he owns it. Now, all of that is because we're assuming he's a good dude. Right. Now, let's say the following. Let's say we knew that there were two dudes, and we knew one of them is a bad dude. So then we wouldn't know that they own what they possess. Right, it wouldn't be a good proof. Let's say there was another option. Let's say he didn't own it. Let's say he borrowed it. Or let's say he could have borrowed it. If he could have borrowed it, then also it's possible that he borrowed it, and that doesn't contradict him being a good dude, right? Even good people borrow things sometimes. And then we could say, if he borrowed it, then it's got to go back to the original owner. Sorry, really this should be green to connote the fact that there's no averos going on yet, or there's no assumption of him being a thief, right? If it's borrowed, we could go back to, right, the marakam. And that doesn't contradict the fact that he's a good dude, right? Because there's a very reasonable pathway from dude A being a good dude to having the object by being borrowed, and it really still belongs to the marakam. In the case of Shnei Bosim Batalis, right, there is no borrowing option. Right? It either belongs to him or he stole it. And now, one second, sorry. You're not following.
No, what I was trying to say is I don't follow how this is an answer to an example of Anan Sadi.
So the Anan Sadi is that we know that this guy has a Cheskas Kashrus, right? So we can testify that since he has a Cheskas Kashrus, and he has this object, he must own it.
Would there ever be a case where there's not Chazaka Kashrut, but there is an Anan Sahadi, or do they always come together?
Not according to the COVID shearing, no.
Okay. I think that's
we only have sort of confusing Anan Sahadi according to the COVID shearing because we're assuming he's a good dude. Why else assume that he owns it? Says Rabbi Hanan, because we're assuming he's a good dude, right? We don't assume that people are thieves. Because we're assuming he's not a thief, right? And he has this object, he must own it. Right? He's not a thief. He has the object. He therefore must own it. That's the Anan Sadi. Right? That falls apart if there's another option, like let's say it was borrowed. So an object that people normally lend out would not be subject to that Anan Sadi. And if we know 100% that either dude A or dude B is a thief, so we also don't have an Anan Sadi anymore, right? Because it's not possible to maintain the Cheskas Kashrus because we know one of them is a thief. So Tosfos would say, if we know one of them, let's say there's a Rade Ramai, I don't know what to say, Tosfos. We'll leave Tosfos at it for a minute. But that would be a reason to say that once there's a Badei Ramai, the whole Anan Sadi falls apart. Because there is no longer a flowchart pathway to saying that dude A and dude B are both good guys. Either dude A is a good guy or dude B is a good guy, so then there's no Anan Sadi anymore. Because we don't know that the fact that he has it proves that it's his. Because one of them's a thief.
Okay, and Anan Sadi takes the form of an assumption?
Correct. The Anan Sadi is an assumption that because this guy we're allowed to, we should assume this guy is a good guy, therefore we can assume that he owns it. That's what Rabbi Hanan's arguing.
So I have two different questions. Sure. So once we either don't have the status quo or we don't have the Cheskas Kashrus, that's when we do say Yechloku?
No,
because I was confused.
If we neither have status quo nor Cheskas Kashrus and the resultant Anan Sadi that he owns it, that's when we'll say either we'll say Kol Dalam Kvar or we'll say Yehei Munach, right? Depending on your preference, but we would not say Yechloku. Because we will not assume that he owns it, because he doesn't own it. Right? And not only does he not own it, there's no status quo of leaving it in his hand. So let's let them fight it out, or let's confiscate it. That's what Rabbi Hanan would say.
So would you say that Yechloku is almost an extension of maintaining status quo? And
no, so not according to Rabbi Hanan, it's not. There isn't, by the Yachloku is not a maintenance of the status quo at all. The way the Rabbeinu Chananel brought down the Rajba comes out is that it's the guy actually already has it in his pocket. So you're maintaining status quo. Rabbeinu Chanan is saying, like Tosos, it's not like, oh, there's a status quo that he has possession. It's that we have evidence that it belongs to him because anan sadi dematatachas yado shala, and therefore we have evidence that it belongs to him. We have evidence that it belongs to guy B because they're both holding on to it, and therefore we assume that it belongs to both of them.
We assume it belongs to both of them, but we don't do a yachloku.
No, so that's why we do yachloku, but only if we can assume that he actually owns it. We can say anan sadi demayde tachas yado shala.
Okay.
Right,
okay,
but
okay.
That wouldn't be true. I'm just pointing out. That's what Bachanan says. That's why we do chaluka, is because anan sadi demayde tachas yado shala and my tachas yado shala. They both own it, so we split it between them. There is no status quo, but there is proof that it belongs to them. I'm pointing out that according to Tosfos, when does this fall apart? If it's EF Sholios MS, if it's impossible for them to both own it, because then one of them definitely stole it, right? If it's EF Sholios MS, then, right, that torpedoes, right, this. It torpedoes the Chezkas Kashrus because it's EF Sholios MS. One of them is definitely a thief, right? So then guy two, dude two, dude B, right, also gets torpedoed, and we have no reason to assume that they own it at all because they no longer have a Chezkas Kashrus. I torpedoed this, and therefore, I know that I don't assume that he owns it. And then I could do a Heimunach, I could do a Kol Dom Gavar, I could do anything you want.